It is on your word. And Lord, you said in Isaiah 55, your word would not return void, and it would do what it was set out to do. So Father, I thank you for that promise and that confidence. Help us to understand the precepts and principles of your word and live our life according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. Well, praise God. Amen. Gosh, I didn't even start, Melinda. You already left. So I want to go into, continue as we're speaking through the word of, through the book of Acts in Acts 1:8, as we spoke last week, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Last week, we've kind of unpacked this a little bit, and there's so much to the text that we need to see. So I hope by now you're aware of the fact that this whole purpose of the series is to look at what was effective in the book of Acts and what was effective to the early believers. Like, why were they so effective at church? Why were they, their evangelism and their conversion rates were phenomenal, off the charts? We've seen nothing like that ever again. And so one has to ask, like, looking at the first century church and how it started, what was the key? What was, you know, what was their secret? And we look at our church today, and we look at it in America, and we look at it other parts of the earth, and we just don't see the type of growth that we have seen in the first century. So what was it? Was it the men? And so I hope by now you realize it really wasn't the men. The men didn't have much anything special on them. I mean, in them. I mean, about them. They didn't have the skills. They didn't have the know-how. Matter of fact, Scripture says these men were known by the Pharisees as uneducated men who have turned the world upside down. These are uneducated men that have been so effective, and they've drawn in so many. We see that. We see failures in these 12 original disciples that God used to start this, to launch this church. We see days, weeks prior, maybe weeks. We know that Jesus, when he rose from the dead, stayed 40 days. But we know the reputation of these disciples. I mean, Peter had denied him, and he didn't even have enough courage and enough crass to stand up to a young girl who accused him of being a follower or a disciple of Jesus. We know that he denied him three times, and the third time, he even began to cuss and use profanity. I mean, this guy was hiding it big time, you know. He was not willing to let anybody know that he was a follower. So major failure, and he fulfilled the words of Jesus saying that you'll deny me, denying Christ, this man. Matter of fact, this man was, he was given the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and they've seen so much, they saw so much Jesus do and to teach. For 3.5 years, they were with Jesus. They followed him around, they watched him do great miracles, they seen him heal the blind, and the ears, deaf ears open up, and lame people walk, and dead rise and come back alive. And the disciples saw this great power. And yet, when Jesus was arrested, they ran. They all ran. And Matthew tells us not just a couple of them denied him, they all ran and hid. We know John stayed for a little while and watched the crucifixion, but we don't really see a lot of the other ones being around. It's like they were in hiding. So why would God choose these men? Full of failures. They were fishermen. Fishermen, the majority of them. I mean, another one was a tax collector, which, man, that's not a good vocation in the days, in those days, and especially to be a Jew, to plant a church, to start a church, to be a tax collector. Boy, it started out on, you know, a bad foot. I mean, these men were terrible resumes, but yet Jesus still chose them. And so we have to ask, so erase the fact that it was some sort of talent and some sort of qualification that these men possessed that caused Jesus to choose them, because it wasn't. And when we know that, it should create in us good news. Amen. When I think about ourselves and I think about the church, look, we're a motley crew, right? I mean, God's always used motley, crude people. He's always used people that are messed up. I remember one time I had this conversation with this pastor, and he's kind of a new pastor, and he was talking about, his education. He was talking about, where he'd come from, and he really didn't want to take the church that he was taking this year. It's because it was too small, and he just, God really had to speak to him about, humbling himself, and it was really quite a humbling conversation, not really. And so it's almost like this, he's putting himself on this upper echelon of who he was, and I remember the Holy Spirit started convicting me and reminding me of the scripture. And so it came my turn to share, and I don't know what's wrong with me. Sometimes I just look for opportunities to put it to somebody, and I shouldn't do that. But my response was, geez, when we think about who God uses, that should humble us all. Just that should humble us. Because God says, I take the foolish things of this world and use them to confound the wise. What does that really say about us? The more you're used of God, really, what does that say? I mean, in the eyes of man, you're kind of foolish, they can't figure out why you're so effective. And it's pretty humbling. And, they went on to the next person, and I don't know if I had a conversation with them. But anyways, we got to understand that. I mean, God has always chosen broken people to do his work. And I think that's a beautiful text. That's a beautiful faith lesson we get to learn when Jesus looks at his disciples in Acts 1:8 and says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And I wanted to really hit that last couple of weeks because power, you shall receive power. That's easy to understand if we do the process of elimination. Like, you shall receive power, simple math. If you shall receive something, it probably means you don't have it. Somebody say amen. And so the effectiveness of this power was not just power. This meant Jesus was saying, look, you are deficient and you are unqualified and you don't meet the requirements. And I'm going to use you to plant the church, but I want you to know something. It's not because of your abilities. It's really because I chose you because of your lack of abilities. So just in case you try to get up on yourself, remember this, that I chose you because I want to confound the wise. And so I choose simple things. And then he looks to us. That's a beautiful text for us. That's a beautiful faith lesson. I mean, remember, God has always chosen broken people. Joseph, man, the most dysfunctional family you can imagine. I mean, dude, I've seen some dysfunctional families, and I've counseled some families, and I've come from some families. I've never met anyone sold into slavery by their brothers and pushed into a hole. I never met anyone who was sitting in counseling and saying, well, my brothers, when I was 17 years old, they didn't like me too much, and I went out hunting with them one day, and I overheard the conversation, and like 10 of them wanted to kill me. And one of them talked him out of it and said, let's not kill him, let's just put him in a hole and till daddy died. And so that I never met anybody like that. And so Joseph was that man, and he pushed into a hole. And then later on, here comes this caravan of Egyptians for slave trading and slave buying. And so Joseph was selected and picked out of that hole. They didn't mean for him to be in this. That wasn't part of the plan. But when the opportunity came to make money out of Joseph's life, they took advantage of that. I've never met anyone, but yet God saw through all of that mess, just like he's seen through all of your mess and all your family dysfunction. And somehow, in some way, he weeded through all that garbage and picked us up and put us on a platform and said, you are who I want to use. Through you, people will know who I am. Boy, that's powerful, isn't it? Man, that's a great testimony of God and his grace and his compassion. I love how he says about Israel. He says, when I found you, you were just dirty and you were abandoned and you were naked and you were ugly. And I took you and I adopted you and I dressed you and I adorned you in clothing. You became my prized possession, the apple of my eye. And all the worlds will know I exist because you. And I chose you and I put you together so the world will know I'm a good God. Woo! Well, that's a powerful church. That's what he chooses, man. We're in a world that really has a lot of stock in education, has a lot of stock in qualifications, and we look at that, and we select preachers, and we select pastors from a board that says, well, they got to be qualified, and we look for the qualifications on that way. Let me tell you something. The qualifications that we need to look for, and we need to check track record, is how led are they by the Holy Spirit, how sensitive they are to God, and how much time they spend in communication with them. I think that's probably the biggest qualifier in everything. So you and I got to understand something. God chooses broken people. He could choose Joseph. He chose a Moses. You know, I mean, Moses, a murderer. Boy. But he chose them. Rahab, a harlot. Isn't that crazy? He chose a prostitute and brought her into the tribe. I always loved the story of Rahab, church. I love it. Because we start seeing the genealogy of Jesus. The genealogy of Jesus came out of Rahab. What does that mean? That means that this woman, this Rahab, I want you to picture this. Like, so Rahab was, where was she living? Jericho. Remember? She's the one who hid the spies. Hid the spies. She's a prostitute. The walls of Jericho fell down. Rahab survived. They brought her into the tribe. They brought her into the family of God. This prostitute was brought into the family of God. The women in the family of God. I can imagine what, boy, God had to do a work, not only just in Rahab, but he had to prepare the whole tribe to accept and embrace and love this former prostitute. And how they were able to welcome her in and teach her the Jewish way and teach her the laws of God and educate her and love her and get her to such a place where it was family to her. And then it didn't stop there. God used her to have the through the genealogy of Jesus. I mean, great, 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 great grandmother was a prostitute that was rescued out of Jericho. That should say something about the mercy and the grace of God in our life. Amen. So understand this. I mean, I want you to get this straight. It isn't your qualifications that cause you to be used by God. Stop that. Stop believing that. And if it isn't my qualifications, then my failures cannot disqualify me either. Somebody say amen. My struggles cannot disqualify me either. That God is a God full of grace and compassion. I'm ringing a little bit, so just turn me down just a bit. And realize this, that you qualify for God because you're unqualified. Isn't that funny? Your unqualifications, your brokenness is what actually qualifies you for God's work. Wow. Wow. It is your brokenness. It is your unqualification. It is your dysfunction that God is attracted to. Amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. I think all of us need to just thank Him for a moment. Father, I thank you for finding us, and I thank you for selecting us out of the weeds of life, God, out of the dysfunction and brokenness of life, Father. You chose us. You chose us, Father. We're undeserved, and we're unqualified, Father, but you, in your grace and your compassion, your mercy, had a plan and chose us, and it has a plan for our life today. And our plan is not to just make us better, not to just rescue us, but your plan is to make you known through us and through our life. Somebody say amen to that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Amen. That means everything he does through you is to show the world that he's alive. Show the world of his love and grace and compassion. Somebody say amen to that. Hallelujah. 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 Thank God we're not a religious church. Somebody say amen to that. Thank God that it's the broken people that need the doctor. It's the broken people that need to be in the hospital. It's those that understand their brokenness that need to come to church. Somebody say amen to that. Praise God. We thank you for that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. God is good. So understand that you shall receive power has a lot to be said. I mean, it means you don't have any. It means you're not qualified. And the disciples, I'm sure there was a moment of silence and a moment of dry gulching, like, we don't have power. Well, how are we going to do this? And Jesus makes this promise to him. He says, what you don't have, I'll provide. Amen. That promise is still true for us today. What you lack, I'll give. I'll provide all your needs according to your riches and glory. If I've called you to something, then I've called you with the purpose to perfect my work through you. And listen, to bring victory into your life. Hallelujah. So don't worry. I'm going to give you what you need. And so this is it. I mean, that was the beginning of the church. Men and women of God who were chosen because of their brokenness and because of their lack of power. And so Jesus says, I'm going to give you power. Now, that's an interesting word. So the word power means dunamis power, means dynamic power, means effective power. And it means, three words go with this in the Greek meaning. The first word, I want you to get this. The first word in power, that you shall receive power in Acts 1:8, dunamis power in the Greek, it means effective miracle power. That's the first word. It means it's effective. I mean, the power that God gives the church and God gives the believers is effective power. It does work. It's breakthrough power. Everybody said breakthrough. It's miracle power. That's what God gives the church. That's what we possess. Miracle power. What does that mean? That means we have been called to be placed in positions and conditions and circumstances where nothing yet has worked. Do you know that? That you are called, if God has given you power, it's miracle power, which means breakthrough power, which means you're going to be around situations and circumstances where there's no healing available, where there's not, it's not curable, where it's those people who have tried, they've been to the doctor, they've been to situations, they tried to find help for counseling, they tried to find help for their marriage, they tried to find help for the rebellious kid, they tried to find help for jobs, and nothing seemed to work. But God says, I'm giving you power, miracle breakthrough power, for one reason, so I can break through what has been constant in the lives of people. Somebody say amen to that. Effective power means it has never been able to be moved. It's impregnable. Its defense is too much. Doctors can't figure it out. People can't figure it out. Every time somebody tries to treat it, it remains unmoved and unchanged until miracle breakthrough power is introduced to it, and then what was standing no longer remains. Somebody say amen to that. That's powerful. Miracle power. He says that's what he's given us. It's the same word Jesus used, and I think it's appropriate, in Luke 8:46. Remember that? Remember the woman with the issue of blood? That's the same word he uses. Jesus uses dunamis power. There's other words for power, but in this context, he used dunamis power. He said this, he was walking, and this woman pushes through the crowd. Who is the woman? This is how you're able, when Jesus used this word for the first time, the law of first reference says, how does he intend to use it in our life? Are you with me? How does Jesus intend to use the word power and give us power? And how does he intend to use it? Well, he gives us a hint in the Luke 8:46. The woman with the issue of blood, 12 years, everybody say 12. She had tried to be healed. For 12 years, she had spent all her money. She had went from doctor to doctor to doctor, and the cure had not been able to be given to her. This thing was still broken. It was unmovable. The roots were too deep, and these doctors could not figure out what's wrong. No amount of money, no amount of education, no amount of technology could fix what was broken in this woman's life. That's powerful. And here comes this woman, abandoned by humanity. And I want to tell you something. Read the story. Read some history when it comes to a woman who had an issue of blood and try to find out what type of bleeding it was. I want to tell you something. It wasn't a nosebleed. Many theologians say it's quite possibly a venereal disease, an STD. And this woman developed a bleeding issue. And when she bled all the time, she was unqualified and too unclean to touch a human being. You've heard this. Matter of fact, she would walk the streets, and if a rabbi knew her condition, he would yell, unclean, unclean. And the woman would be encouraged to go to the other side of the road. Do you realize this? She was Jewish. We know that for sure. We know it. And I'll tell you how we know it in a moment. But she had family. Do you realize that a woman had blood issues and was bleeding constantly, couldn't even touch her mother or father? If she had any other relatives, she hadn't felt their embrace for 12 years. She was isolated and alone. She was marked. And Jesus came to town, and this woman pushed through the crowd. And the Bible says she touched the hem of his garment. And Jesus said, power flown. Who touched me? And his disciples were like, bro, everyone. What do you mean, who touched me? I can't do a report on it. What do you mean? Like tons of people, Jesus. He goes, no. Someone touched me. And virtue, and the word means power, flown from me. What does that mean, church? That means the power, dunamis power, moved out from me, and it was a power that breaks through something that prior was unbreakable. I mean, something, it cures something that was priorly incurable. It does something that was priorly unable to be moved. My power flowed out from me, and this woman was healed. Jesus' power was able to set this woman free. It was breakthrough miracle power that was stationary for 12 years, rooted in for 12 years. And in one moment, let me tell you something, in one moment, in one touch of this, of Jesus' robe from this woman, 12 years of brokenness, 12 years of agony, 12 years of suffering from one touch and one flow of power from Jesus broke through and set this woman free, rescued her and healed her completely. The Bible says, and her it dried up, it quit bleeding, and she was completely changed and healed. Amen. That's the power that he refers to when he's been given to us. It's a power that says before and prior, it was unmovable and unfixable, but I've given you power that's going to break through everything that's been unbreakable. Come on, Jesus. Oh, that's powerful to me. If we really believed that that power was within us, we would be doing a lot more than what we do today. Somebody say amen. Amen. Stop scratching your head and wondering why you're constantly in facing things that are impossible. Stop scratching your head and wondering why constantly you're around people who are so broken. Stop wondering that, because God said in you I place power to break through what's been keeping them captive in their life. You're going to be around those people because my power that I put in you is produced to be effective in the lives of other people. Somebody say amen. Amen. How do I do that? Well, we got to believe that we haven't possessed it. I mean, dunamis power, dynamite power, Luke 8:46. That's the power he's been given to us. It's a kind that's effective. Secondly, it's a kind that's it causes enthusiasm. What does that mean? That means when the power is released, those who, when it happens, this power has had, this bondage that's been broken has had a reputation prior. And people know that it's incurable. People know that it's unable to be fixed. People know that what's broken will remain broken in this person's life, that this person is hopeless, in despair. And what happens when that takes place, when power flows from you, it causes the attention of those who have known or familiar with the impossible, look that way and go, I know that lady. I know that it was, I know she spent her money. I was a doctor that tried to treat her. I was the last of 12, I was the last of 50 doctors. We don't know, but I was a doctor and it was incurable. And in one moment, you're telling me this lady has been healed by a man named Jesus? Let me find out what's going on. And it creates interest. It's effective in the way that it says people start paying attention and said something happened that was real and true, and what was once in bondage has now been set free. That's two forms. So it's effective in the form to the other people, and it also causes interest. It causes people to look and pay attention. A third one I love, it causes engagement. What does that mean? The power that he gives us, it draws people to himself. It draws people to Jesus Christ. Well, in your case, it would draw them to you. Or in their case, it would draw them to them, and they would inquire, how are you healed? How are you fixed? What has happened to you? What God did in your life, I know was real, because I know how bound you were. Somebody say amen. Boy, when he breaks addiction in the lives of somebody who is addicted, when he breaks those powers that have been over people's lives, when he does that, other people are affected by it. They know how broken and messed up this individual was, and it causes them to go, if he did it for him, he can do it for me. Somebody say amen to that. It just takes one move, church. It takes one healing before faith inside of us begins to grow. And we begin to say, God is no respecter of person. And if he did it for them, he can do it for me. And when we're around the movement and the power and the presence of God, it creates this engagement that says, I want what they have. Somebody say amen to that. That's why he places you around people like that. You don't think the power and the movement of God is used. If we think it's an isolated event that just heals the person and it shows God's goodness and mercy to the individual, if you think that's all the power of God is for, then you're sadly misreading scriptures. We know in John 4:39, the Samaritan woman, God set her free, church, from condemnation and guilt. She was at the well, don't you remember? And she was bound up. up. And the Bible says that she walked to Jacob's well, which was a mile and a half out of her city. She did that, if you read the historical background of that, she did it because she didn't want to be around the other woman that were watering at the same time that day. So she would walk a mile and a half down the road and a mile and a half back carrying her jugs of water, because she had such a jaded past, because she had made lots of mistakes, because she had been with men after men after men. And we start saying, what's wrong with this woman? This woman's a harlot. This woman's got problems. This woman, whatever. If we think that this woman did it because she just didn't care, we also have missed the text. Because if she did it with no conscience, she would not have went to a mile and a half down the road to another well. She did it and she felt condemned, ashamed, and embarrassed, and she was hurting. And she needed someone to break that in her life, because that cycle would have continued until the day that she died. But Jesus had other plans. He met the woman at the well. He said, I know what you've done. I know where you've been, but I want to tell you, even though I know this, I will give you water and you'll never thirst again, woman. I will heal what's been broken enough. I will quench the thirst that exists inside of you that's caused you to reach beyond into a dangerous area of relationship after relationship after relationship. I will fix this cycle of brokenness, because I will bring love, mercy, and grace into your life. Somebody say amen to that. Hallelujah. And what did she do, church? She went back to Samaria, and what did she say? I met a man who told me everything I've ever known. He knew everything about me, and guess what? He still loved me, accepted me, and embraced me. I found the man. And the Bible says the Samaritans went to look for Jesus because of what Jesus did in that one lady's life. They said, we heard her say it, and we're looking for you. Now we believe that what she said is true. But it was her testimony and the power of God demonstrated in her life that pulled other people out of their complacency and caused them to seek Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen. Church, that's why he uses us. That's why he does works in our life. That's why you have a testimony this morning. Every person in this place has a testimony that God has delivered you and rescued. You say, well, Pastor, I don't have a testimony that's drugs and alcohol, and I don't have a testimony that was sex and broken, and I don't have that testimony. Boy, it just to know that an individual who's been kept from those things by the power of God is a greater testimony than those who have been rescued from it. Somebody say amen to that. I used to meet people like, and I've known them, they went out, they didn't feel like their testimony was engaging enough, like they hadn't heard enough, they hadn't had brokenness enough. So they actually went out to develop a testimony, to like get addicted, to get involved in the dark side, and then to be freed from it later, which that never has happened. But I've heard it. I've heard them say that. I didn't feel like I had a testimony. I didn't feel like I had much to offer. And they fell into that lie. But I want to tell you something, there's nothing greater than the power of God keeping a young person from involving themselves in that type of lifestyle. That is greater than rescue, church. I believe in a God that not only delivers, but I believe in a God that prevents and prepares us and guides us and navigates us away from those things that can ensnare us. Somebody say amen to that. Well, we're always talking about a God that rescues. What about the God that navigates us away? What about thy word is a light unto my path? What about that? His word protects me and prevents me from going into places that I'll get trapped in. The Bible says the enemy has set a snare before you. The Bible also says that God's word keeps you from falling into that trap, into that snare, if you heed it. Somebody say amen. So the reality of it is, power of God being released in our lives is to affect and to move other people closer to him. Oh, praise God. Listen, John 4:44. Watch this. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. Why'd they welcome him? Welcomed who? Jesus. They had seen, watch, all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, for they'd also been there. Once more, he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there were certain royal officials whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. Watch it. If you're not paying attention, you're going to miss it. What compelled that man to go find Jesus? Well, the scriptures wouldn't say it if it didn't mean something. He turned the water into wine in Galilee, and this man came to Galilee because he heard, what? That Jesus turned the water into wine there. And he knew that that was a miracle. And if Jesus did a miracle in Galilee, perhaps he can do a miracle in my son. Somebody say amen. Don't anybody tell you that it's weak faith and it's not biblical to pray for a move of God, to pray for a miracle of God so that people will come to know who he is. Miracles build faith. Somebody say amen. Amen. Power and movement of God has power to pull people in, engage them, and create evangelism. Somebody say amen. Now, there has to be the word preached, but that's what gathers them. That's what pulls them in. And in case you haven't noticed, I want you to look around. You got a lot of room in your pews this morning. They're not coming in by droves right now. And like, what are they going to come in for? Look, what is the sleeping people going to come in for? To hear a screaming preacher? To hear some worship? To come into a... What are they going to... When you the power of God is released, they will come in. They will wake up. They will realize something significant and unordinary and supernatural is happening, and that will compel them out of their homes. Somebody say amen. That will compel them to stop hitting their snooze button at 9:45. They will be up and ready. They won't say, Mom, I don't want to go to church. It's boring there. They will say, I'm ready to go because I want to see and I want to experience the supernatural presence of God. I want to see him do to me what he did to them. Somebody say amen to that. Gee, why else would they come? You think unspiritual people just wake up and one day decide to be spiritual? You think it's your flyers? You think it's your marketing? My goodness, it's your life. It's your testimony. It's what they've watched and seen happen to you that pulls them into this place. Don't ask, why am I around these people? Don't ask why I'm always confronted. You are confronted with the impossible because when God does the impossible, people will begin to be drawn to him because of your life. Somebody say amen. Oh, amen. Amen. Church, God is not mocked. Scripture tells us that what he does, he will do for the benefit of others. We got to understand that God will do in you. It's not about us. It's not about you. It's about those that come in contact with you. It's about your testimony. It's about his power flowing through your life. Write it down. What did God do for you? If he kept you from all of these things that have destroyed other people's lives, man, you need to use that for a testimony. If he's put you in front of people that have preserved you and helped you and encouraged you to stay out of lifestyles of bondage, then you need to know that that was God's hand and God's work that created that. If he's put within you experiences that created for you wisdom that's kept you away from those things, don't think that that's you and you just didn't get caught up in that. Think that and know that God created experiences for you to develop a wisdom that will keep you away from those things. Somebody say amen. Power of God is made. This is what dunamis power means. So Jesus said, I will give you power. And the Bible says in Acts 2 that when they were all together in one accord, the power of God visited them and filled them up by the power of the Holy Spirit. They were filled with power, dunamis power. And now they were able to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the othermost parts of the earth, and reveal to them that Jesus Christ is alive. Dunamis power, the same power that you possess, the disciples have and had. Come on. I want you to realize that. The same power that was in them is in you. You don't believe. The same, say that. The same power that was in them is in me. The same power that was in them is in me. The same unqualified person that God used, he put power in so that they could be a witness to the world. Ooh, that's powerful. What is he calling you to witness about, church? You're in your place right now. God has put you where you are. And if you're saved, born-again believer, filled with the Holy Spirit, then he has put you in your place on purpose. And he has done it so you can edify and glorify his son, Jesus. Oh, Jesus said,
if God has done, lit a fire in you. No fire should be put under a bowl and hidden from man. Let your works be seen, so that those will see you and see those good works that God is doing through you and glorify your Father in heaven. Hallelujah. What's your testimony? Where's it at? Where's that power flowing from? You know, dunamis power is powerful. I want the worship team to come up as we close. Church, I didn't want to go beyond that because I wanted to give us an opportunity this morning as we close out in worship to lift our hands and let God fill us with that dunamis power. Someone say amen. You know, dunamis power is pretty interesting. It's explosive power. Now, in the biblical days, it means dynamite, but they didn't have dynamite in the biblical days. Dynamite wasn't created until like 1860-something, so 1800s. And so we know that Greek understood it as dunamis, dynamite, explosive power. And I'm not sure how that resonated to their minds. But I know how it resonates to ours. No, I thought, what does explosive power mean, God? And so I started, the biggest explosive power or unit of power was Adam, you know, nuclear bombs, not Adam that sits in the seat there. He's not that explosive. This power was new. And so here's what happens. I want to show you something. There's an initial bang. And that initial bang is effective. You know why? Because it creates what they call a front wave. And it moves out. Initial bang, explosion, it becomes effective, and it moves out. And a good one, 3 to 4 miles. 3 to 4 miles, this front wave will move out. But you know what it does after that? Creates negative pressure. Do you know what negative pressure is? It's a negative wind. And so not only does it push out, but then it pulls in, it sucks in. It pulls everything back into the center of that explosion. And I thought, what a powerful illustration of the power of God. That when he does something in our lives, there's an initial explosion. And then there's a wave of it. Other people start getting affected by it, like knowing you. And there's these ripples of waves that come out. And people start getting on fire. People start noticing, gosh, what he's done in your life. And then there's a wind of negative thrust that says, hey, if he did it for him, he can do it for me. That's what that means. And it pulls him back into the center. Boy, that's God's way. That he, whatever he does, if dunamis means to explode and to suck in, it means to explode and to pull in. That's us. I have put within you the power, dunamis power, that is going to be used to affect others and pull them into Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo, isn't that powerful, church? I'm going to affect others. I'm going to cause an explosion in your life. 1992, God caused an explosion in my life. He delivered me from a lot of things. And then when my friends got interested, man, I did. I had a lot of friends looking around saying, what in the world did he do? A lot of them thought I was wrapped up in something crazy. But some of them were interested in me, and they began to ask me questions. And before too long, I had 3 of my best friends that I grew up with all of a sudden pulled into church, and they gave their lives to Jesus. Why? Because there was an explosion in one person's life that pulled in other people. And then God started an explosion in their life. And then this ripple effect continues, and the process is to affect others and pull them into his son, Jesus. Now, I'm no special person, you know that. If he's did that in me, he does it in you. Will you stand to your feet? Will you stand to your feet and say, God, if you've, listen, doesn't that get you curious? I will give you power to be my witnesses. Church, they had no question whether or not they were witnesses of God. They had no question whether or not they were effective. They knew it. Do you know that? You're as a believer. Do you question whether or not dunamis power exists inside of you? If you do, have God confirm it today. Say, what do you mean? He either is going to confirm that you do, or he's going to put it in you so that you do. Somebody say amen. Now, what do you say? I want you to do this with me. If we're going to take God by his word this morning, you shall receive power. Will you lift your hands up? Father, you said in your word that you are no respecter of person. You said, God, the Spirit of God is for all of us. The power that is possessed by the disciples is available for every believer that asks. You said to be aware of our need, and we are. Today, some of us are like, I am aware. I'm not affected. I don't feel affected. I'm not convinced that I am, and I need to be because that has to be part of it. I can be affected but not be convinced of it and still be dormant. So make me know that. And if I don't have that power that you've promised on high, then I want it. I want it because I want every biblical thing that you've called me to have. And I want to know that I have it. Now, if that means tongues, let it be tongues. If that means something supernatural happening that convinces me that I have what you've promised, then you be God. Somebody say amen. Do you want it? Father, fill them right now in Jesus' name. Those that meant that and those that spoke that, I pray right now that you fill them. And without a shadow of a doubt, they're convinced. Ooh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Without a shadow of a doubt, they're convinced. They've been empowered and that now they've been commissioned. They've been empowered and that now that they've been commissioned to go out and to speak. Well, I'm not telling you to go door to door. I'm telling you to let that light, that influence shine. Let the power of God flow where you're at your platform, in your place that you're currently at. Let the power of God flow through you. How? By allowing opportunities of the impossibility to be confronted by your faith. Hallelujah. You hear that? By allowing the opportunities of impossibility to be confronted by your faith. What does that mean? That means when you are confronted with the impossibility, you practice faith. Let me pray for you, brother. Let me pray for you, sister. Let me tell you what God has done for me. Let me tell you what God has done for others. Let me tell you what the Word of God says. And the power of God has promised to flow. Because His Word will not return void. Somebody say amen. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Fill us with power, Father. Fill them with power. For our worship team, go ahead and play us out. But I'm asking you, church, if you need it and you want it and you know that you're not convinced you have it, I'm going to invite you to the front. It's only a few steps. It's not that big of a deal. So I'm going to ask you, I'm going to encourage you to come. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Worship team, as they play, you do what you feel God leading you to do. But receive what He has for you today. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Love you.